the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. An elderly Roman Catholic cardinal recounted an event that happened when he was a young parish priest. He had been asked to give last rites to a man who had collapsed in a department store. So the priest came and knelt beside the man and began with the traditional Roman rites, saying, "Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit?" And the man opened one eye and said, "I'm lying here dying, and you're asking me a riddle." Perhaps you feel like this as well. Anytime this subject comes up, someone would talk about the great mystery of the Trinity. We tend to shy away from any discussion of this most important and central, I would say, Christian doctrine. In fact, someone has said that if you talk about the Trinity for longer than a few minutes, you're liable to slip into heresy. You may be glad to know that I don't plan on preaching long enough to get there. Trinity Sunday is a unique day set aside in the church calendar to focus upon a doctrinal truth rather than a redemptive event. And the timing is worth noting. The church year, of course, begins with Advent, the time when we think about the Father's promise to send the Messiah to save the world. The next seasons in the calendar follow the birth of the Messiah, focusing on the Son of God, focusing on his birth, his epiphany, his death, resurrection, and ascension. And then, of course, comes Pentecost, which we celebrated last Sunday, focusing on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. Considering this, today is the culmination of the revelation of God in the church calendar. God has been revealed to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we are called to worship this triune God. These two basic ideas are brought forth in our epistle lesson from the revelation of St. John the Divine in the fourth chapter. The first truth is that the triune God is fully revealed to us in great awe and mystery. The word mystery in Holy Scripture refers to a truth which is necessarily revealed by God and is of such depth that we will never exhaust its meaning. We should not be shocked that our doctrine of God is a mystery. After all, we are creatures seeking to understand the one who created heaven and earth. Many attempts, of course, have been made to explain the Trinity, typically by appealing to some kind of analogy. But whether we're talking about a shamrock or an egg or any other created thing, all of these analogies fall short. We would be much better off to simply follow what Scripture reveals. After all, St. John himself, who was taken up to heaven and given a vision of the triune God, strains to explain his vision to us in our passage today. The first part of his vision involves the Father. The vision centers on the throne of God. It is a majestic scene of God as the King of the universe, ruling upon his throne. St. John says, "He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald." The major aspects of this description would seem to be brightness, glory, and beauty, and even color. The apostle is straining to even describe God on his throne. Perhaps this is what the hymn writer has in mind when he described God as being in light inaccessible. The second vision, which is found actually in the next chapter, which is a continuation of chapter 4, is clearer, actually. One of the elders told St. John, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And John says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." Of course, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Once again, there is paradox and mystery. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and yet he is the lamb that was slain. These statements reveal Christ as possessing both the power of a lion and yet the gentleness and submissiveness of a lamb who sacrificially lays down his life. But he's also envisioned here in this vision as a conquering lamb, for death could not hold him. He has been raised to live and to reign forevermore. Then there's this equally mysterious vision that we have in the description of the Holy Spirit. John says there are these seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. No, not actually seven spirits. It's a way of pointing to the Holy Spirit. Seven is a number of perfection. He is, after all, the Holy Spirit. But there's this image of fire, which corresponds to the description that we received last week when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church at Pentecost. Remember that the Spirit came to rest upon them, and the vision was as of cloven tongues of fire. Fire, of course, is symbolic of cleansing and power. And fire is also symbolic of enlightening. One of the major roles, after all, of the Spirit was to enlighten the disciples, leading them to all truth. Of course, there are many other places in Scripture where we could go to speak of other attributes of the triune God, but these suffice for setting forth the mystery of the Trinity in unity and unity and Trinity. The Athanasian Creed, which you can find in your bulletin this morning, does not define God, but it does go a long way towards setting the biblical parameters for how we speak about God. So today, let us embrace and celebrate the mystery. After all, this is the faith into which we were baptized when water was poured upon us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Which brings us to the second truth in our lesson, the fact that we're called to worship the Trinity. The whole scene of St. John's vision is one of worship. In fact, if you go back to the very beginning of the book in chapter 1, St. John tells us that when he received this revelation, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which is another way, of course, of saying that I received this vision while I was in worship. And this is consistent with our text where he hears this voice which sounds like a loud trumpet and says, "Come up hither." And John is taken up into heaven, into the very throne room of God. We're led to understand that while he was in worship on earth, he was taken up in experience, to experience heavenly worship. And this is precisely where he received the vision of the triune God, which I've just set forth. But this vision is important because we're also given a window into the business around the throne of God. Around the throne, we have four representatives of the angelic host, and we have 24 elders who represent the people of God. When these angelic beings enter the presence of the majesty of God, they begin to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you know that this scene, including the song, echoes the vision that Isaiah received, Isaiah the prophet, when he received his call from God. The song reflects the vision because God is thrice holy. The Father is holy, the Son is holy, and the Spirit is holy, as the Athanasian Creed says. In Isaiah's vision, only angels were mentioned around the throne. But now, on account of the ministry of Jesus Christ, who has opened the kingdom of heaven for all believers, God's people also are gathered there. So the 24 elders represent the people of God, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. They're pictured as falling down before the throne, casting their crowns at God's feet, and joining in with the angelic chorus. Beloved, this is why we're here today. The triune God has been fully revealed to us, and our only proper response is to fall down and worship. In just a few moments, we too will be invited to come up hither, when I will say, "Lift up your hearts." We're going to lift up our hearts to heaven, and we too will join with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory." Today, let us embrace the mystery of the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity by falling before the throne in wonder, in awe, and in praise. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."